Welcome to Trinity Church. This week's podcast is from our recent Sunday morning service. You can also visit trinitychurch.life for more podcasts and videos of recent sermons.
Our reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Well, good morning. Now, I don't know how you respond to the new year, to a new year. For some of us, we're the kind of people who make New Year's resolutions, right? I'm going to go to the gym this year. I get healthy. Not even going to make eye contact with a carb in 2020. Right, get out of debt, save more money, like new year, new you, right? Take the bull by the horns, charge into the year, change your life. And so for these, we can call these people our resolution mindset people. And then there's another group, our anti-resolution people. So maybe it's just because you're an anti-establishment person, right? Whatever the herd is doing, I'm going to do the opposite, right? It's too trendy to do that. I'm a strong individual. I'm going to do my own thing. Maybe you've seen the stats and you just realize the odds are slim that it's going to work out for you. You're a realist. Or maybe you just don't care. And there's another way to look at the new year too. And I heard about this recently. I read about this. It happens on January 28th. Every year in Times Square. And it's something called, I'd never heard of this before, it's called Good Riddance Day. And here's the actual invitation, paragraph to Good Riddance Day. Good Riddance Day is inspired by an old tradition in which New Year's revelers stuffed dolls with objects representing bad memories before setting them on fire. Join us in tossing, shredding, and smashing any unpleasant, embarrassing, and downright unwanted memories from the past year. And some of us are like, why didn't I know about that sooner? That would have been great. Now, regardless, though, of how we feel about the new year, whether you feel excited, whether you feel kind of cynical, whether you feel overwhelmed, or just plain numb, the point is, it does give us the opportunity, right? This time of year does give us the opportunity to pause and reflect on where we want to go. A whole new, not just whole new year, but this is different this year because it's a whole new decade. A whole new decade. And so I want you to think for a moment, where were you 10 years ago? Maybe not alive if you're a young child, but where were you 10 years ago, right? What was happening in your life? Where were you in your walk with God? Where were you in your relationships? Where were you vocationally? Maybe where were you even geographically? What mountains, what valleys have you been through over this past 10 years? And I would guess that for every single person here, there's a lot of unexpected and unforeseen twists along that journey. And so in getting ready today, just thinking about this message here and kicking off this year and really this decade, just have had this sense that God is inviting us to zoom out. Really, not just to consider what 2020 looks like, but really to think about the bigger picture. And so what we're talking about today is how to start a decade. How to start a decade. And of course, when we say this, it's not implying that we can control what happens to us, right? Life certainly is not a formula. But at the same time, where we're pointed does matter. Now, from what I understand, when it comes to navigating on a large ship, to start your journey even one degree off, by the time you go thousands of miles, you are many miles off course from where you initially set out for. And how does that happen? Well, it happens very, very gradually. You get off course. And so what would it look like to start a new decade together, as individuals and as a church, with real intentionality? With the same kind of intentionality that many of us have around our financial goals, our career goals, what school we're trying to get into, sports, fitness goals, whatever it is. What if we had the same kind of passion that we have for many of those things, and we place that passion in the realm of figuring out who we're becoming in God together? right? And so really, how can we live with a long-term vision in mind? But it's not easy, because there's so much that vies for our attention. It's getting harder than ever to have long-term thinking. And I actually came across this recently, the story of a computer engineer who believed that people should develop more long-term thinking, so much so that he engineered and designed a clock that goes for 10,000 years. And here's how it works. It ticks once a year. The century hand advances once every 100 years. The cuckoo comes out at the millennium, every millennium for the next 10,000 years. And currently, there are smaller prototypes that exist. There's a full-scale 500-foot-tall version that's being built and is apparently being funded for $42 million by Jeff Bezos. Because really, why not, right? Why not at that point, when you get to that point? Now, Stuart Brand, who's on the board of directors for this project, is working on this project, he said this. He kind of explained the reason for, the why behind it. He said, civilization is revving itself into a pathologically short attention span. The trend might be coming from the acceleration of technology, the short horizon perspective of market-driven economics, the next election perspective of democracies, or the distractions of personal multitasking. All are on the increase. Some sort of balancing corrective is needed. And so the truth is, as we move into a new decade, we are confronted with this kind of tension. Where are we going? And a paradox for life today is that even though we have more knowledge and more resources than ever before in human history, it seems like we have a far greater lack of clarity and lack of purpose and lack of direction. The Harvard historian Oscar Handlin, as he looked around on Western society and people in our time, he described many contemporary people as, quote, wandering in the dark, stumbling along, strained for glimpses of recognizable landmarks. But the good news for us today is that the Bible actually has a whole lot to say about this topic. And so when we look at that short passage that was read earlier from Jeremiah, is the prophet Jeremiah speaking to a people who had lost their sense of direction. Right? Many of them were stumbling in the dark, as that other quote said. Many of them had actually departed from the kind of life that God had intended for them, and they're in desperate need of a landmark, of a roadmap. And so Jeremiah here, what he's doing is he's calling the people back to God to reset their trajectory. And here's what he shares with them. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And I really just have this sense that, certainly in my life, we all need a roadmap. And this verse, I believe, gives us a picture of God's heart for us in 2020, and not only in 2020, but I believe what he's really pointing us toward in the decade ahead. And I want to say this as well, wherever you are today, when it comes to faith, when it comes to your walk with God, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to Christianity, I really believe that God just wants you to know today that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he knows your name, and he cares about this upcoming year and this upcoming decade in your life, and he wants to speak with you, to you today. And so just looking at this passage a little bit, starts with this line, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Now, that's not a throwaway line. The foundation for a decade starts by knowing whose voice we're really listening to. Right? And in an age of hyper-individualism, this is really even more important and more relevant, more timely for us to wrestle with today. Really, who's really in charge? Right? And it just sets it out right at the beginning there. And then goes on, stand at the crossroads and look. Because we have to recognize the crossroads for what it is. We live in a time of unlimited choices. Right? And there are many different paths, there are many different worldviews, there are many different trajectories that we can take. That's true now, and it was true back then as well. Right? The people in that time, in the time of Jeremiah, had lots of different options. And I believe a time like a new year, or a new year, a new decade, what it does is it presents us with a decision. Right? And it's an example, really, here of how God is both sovereign and the giver of free will, that God gifts us with a choice. And so here in this passage, what's really happening, it's like God is inviting them to renew their covenant, right? Like God is almost like, in a spiritual way, proposing like a spiritual marriage to them once again. And there's a question of how they're going to respond to that. And so keep going. It says, ask for the ancient paths. Basically, ask for directions, right? Ask for directions, because when you're on a journey, it sure helps to have good directions. And Jeremiah knew what kind of directions they needed. Now, for us, it's harder to maybe connect with the idea of ancient paths, ancient roads today, because for us, new roads are better, right? A new road is better. It means it's freshly paved. There's clear markings on the road. It's much better for us. But in that time, you trusted the old roads. You trusted the old roads because the old roads had been traveled many times before. You knew where they were going to lead you. You knew that that was going to lead you with more safety to the destination you were going for. And so when Jeremiah here is talking about ancient paths, he's not just talking about, let's get nostalgic together. He's not saying, let's just reminisce on the good old days or let's live in the past. No, he's saying, let's live now, but in accordance with these ancient paths. And so it's important to know then, what are ancient paths? Well, in the context of Jeremiah, this was the way of life and the way of faith that was walked by their ancestors, which was really the covenant with Abraham at Sinai. So in other words, this is God's word, this is God's law, or another way to think about God's law, even though we don't think about it this way often, is God's law, another way to think about it is as God's loving instruction to his people. And so really an invitation into a covenant lifestyle. And so then it keeps going, ask where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you were to go way back to the original ancient paths, we'd look all the way back to Genesis where it says that Adam and Eve would walk with God in the cool of the day. In other words, in Eden, in that place, in that ideal place of human existence, right? Our perfect life is supposed to look a lot like face-to-face, unhindered, unveiled, intimate communion with God. And Jeremiah is saying here, walk with God, talk with God. That's where you find shalom. That's where you find well-being. That's where you're going to find what you're really after, rest for your soul. That's the blueprint for human existence. That's living according to your design. If you're a fish, you swim. If you're a bird, you fly. For us, we were made to walk with God. And so in our lives today and in our church, what does this really have to do with us? What does this mean for us? Well, I have this sense that it just means that part of our vision has to be a commitment to these ancient paths. And I want to talk about them in two ways in the time we have left, that I believe that God is inviting us to be a people of his word and a people of his presence. People of his word and a people of his presence. And so first of all, people of his word. If we want to live a vibrant life of faith, if we want to have a vibrant church and continue in that, we want to center ourselves in God's word, right? God's living, breathing revelation that he's given us. And so think of scripture maybe a little bit like a map. And so the map, by using the scripture, it's how we stay on track with God's will for our lives, which means that when we have decisions to make, whether it's in our personal lives or certainly decisions that we make as a church, our first step isn't to ask our feelings. It's not just for our ideas or our strategies. It's not even just to look to what culture would say to us, but that the word of God becomes the first step, the litmus test for everything that we do. Now, in 2019, we did the Year of Biblical Literacy, which it was. I really loved that year, and a lot of people have told me that that was the first time, and this is amazing, we celebrate this, that either they read through the whole Bible, or in some cases, engaged with the Bible, read the Bible in any context, and so we celebrate that. And just because that year is over, though, a lot of people made this joke throughout the year, you know, the Year of Biblical Literacy, that doesn't mean that our commitment to the Word has ended in 2020. Our hope is that every single year will be a year of biblical literacy, but not just for the sake of more information, but for the sake of the transformation that happens when we encounter God through his word. And so if you're interested in diving into scripture, this year, maybe for the first time, maybe once again. First of all, we live in a time where there are so many resources, right? There's overwhelming numbers of resources about the scripture. But a couple of resources, a Bible in 1 year. So there's an app version of that. There's also an email list you can get that can send you the stuff every day in your inbox. You can also, of course, follow along on your phone or iPad or even on a paper Bible. You know such a thing exists as a paper Bible as well. It's crazy. But you can follow along in a paper Bible as well and just use the app as a guideline for that. The Bible in 1 year is something that I'm personally using this year. I've used it in years past. Last year, we used the Read Scripture app with the Bible Project, and so that's the reading plan that we did last year. That's available again, of course, this year. And then finally, a couple devotionals by Tim and Kathy Keller, one on Proverbs and wisdom literature and one on the Psalms, and so that's kind of a good bite-sized way to get into that, too. Each one's just a short page, some scripture, some devotional thought, and a guided prayer. And so you can combine that with other reading or start with that as well. So those are just a few practical things I would invite us to continue in 2020 as a year of biblical literacy as well for all of us. So we do want to be a people of his word as we go into this new year and this new decade. We also want to be a people of his presence. Now there's a question that I've often asked, and it's about the gap I see when I read about the power and the presence of God in places like the book of Acts and these stories, these great stories from the early church. And I look at that, and then I compare it to the contemporary Western church. And there's a massive gap there. And I'm convinced that more than ever that the future of the church is going to be utterly dependent on the presence of God for us to really accomplish anything that's worth accomplishing. And what happens when we try to build a church or build a life without the presence of God? Well, we end up just doing more stuff as a church, right? More programs, more events, right? None of that's bad. But what the world needs isn't a cooler church. What the world needs isn't just a better or more polished church. We need the Holy Spirit of God to awaken us to real life, right? We need our hearts to be captivated by the Holy Spirit. And so if the word is our map, then the Spirit is like our guide and our fuel in that. A commitment to the Word of God without a commitment and a hunger for the presence of God will lead us to dead orthodoxy, where we have great theology, we have great doctrine, we have great ideas, but our hearts are unchanged. And dead orthodoxy will lead us inevitably to a declining church and to an overproduction of Pharisees. And so we need the Word. We love the Bible. We love the Word of God. But we also need the presence of God with us. And so when the two come together, there's something beautiful that happens when the beliefs of Christianity, that they're not just these timeless truths that we consider, but they're realities that we begin to live out in our lives. And this is something we want to grow in as a church. We want to keep growing this in 2020 and the years ahead. And we want to help equip and train our church in how to operate, not just in a natural way, just with good ideas or good strategies, but in a supernatural way, right? That we would learn how to hear God's voice, how to cultivate an intimate walk with him, how to minister, how to care for one another, to be a people of his word and of his presence, really of his spirit. And so these are two ancient paths for us today. And I guess the thing that I'm struck by and I'm reminded of is that there's no theological wheel to be reinvented this year, right? We already have one that works. We already have the ancient paths. We don't have to just come up with something for the sake of novelty. And so here's what I do know. There's a lot we don't know about the future, but here's what we can know about the future. No resolution is going to save you. No non-resolution is going to save you or liberate you either. We don't know what's in store. We don't know what celebrations are in store. We don't know what challenges are in store. But we do know that walking the ancient paths will never lead us astray, because that path will lead us straight to Jesus every single time. He is the Word made flesh. He gives us his presence now through his Holy Spirit, which means that we're free to follow him, to receive forgiveness, to receive encouragement, to receive hope. And followers of Jesus know that real, lasting hope that you're not going to find it in just having good circumstances in 2020. You're not going to find it by in the economy. You're not going to find it with the right political ideology. You're not going to find it by getting into the right program, the right school, the right job, right? Our intellect won't help us. Having more resources won't help us. Good health, more entertainment, more leisure, whatever it is, right? Our hope is not found in any of that, even if that stuff is good. Our hope is found in the single-minded pursuit of Jesus. About probably almost 5 years ago now, we visited the Redwoods. If you've ever been to the Redwoods in Northern California. And just to be immersed in this ancient setting, and I say ancient because some of the trees are 3,000 years old. Now, for context, I mean some of the trees there at the birth of Christ were already 1,000 years old. And so to be in this setting, really, it's just larger than life. It kind of takes your breath away to be immersed in that. And you know, there are a lot of reasons for why these trees are so large and so old. Some of it is their DNA. Some of it is their interconnected root system. Some of it is their bark. The bark is so thick that it can actually withstand a forest fire. And just think about, how do these trees get like that? And it wasn't through reinventing the wheel. It wasn't through, hey, let's try something different this year. It was the ancient paths. It was they did what they do every day, every month, every year, every century, and that's what happened, right? They worked the plan, and that those are the ancient paths for the trees, right? To get nutrients, to get sunshine, and to keep on growing, keep on maturing, and really something beautiful emerged from that. And I just have a sense that that same kind of thing is possible for us. And so when I think about this coming decade, we don't know where any of us are going to be in a decade, but when I think about, when I dream about the coming years here in our lives and as a church, here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying to see an end of powerless churches that are hanging on for dear life. I want to see the power of God break out in our region. I want to see the church activated for mission like never before, that we'd be empowered to live a life called as the people of God, as salt and light in our sphere of influence. I want to see us become even more a people of compassion, where we care deeply about those who are going through hard things, about things that are wrong in our society, things that are broken in our world, about folks who are desperate for the hope that they can find in Jesus. I want to see a church not marked by spiritual deadness or spiritual pride, but by red-hot, vibrant orthodoxy, living with passion, living with purpose, to be a people who are hungry for the presence of God, who are growing in maturity, who are living lives that really serve as a testament to the reality of God in our world. I don't want to attend another Sunday event. I want to be a part of an unstoppable movement. But we do stand at a crossroads. God won't force us either way. In the text, after this great charge to the people about walking the ancient paths, finding the good way, there's this rather haunting ending. But you said, we will not walk in it. Right? No thanks. And you read that, and you read that, and you're like, wow, all this good stuff, and why would you say no to that? Right? Why would you say no to the goodness of God and the rest and the abundance that's available in God? Like, who would do that? And then you read it again and you're like, oh yeah, people like me. See, today God is inviting us. God is reaching out to us with great tenderness and saying, come, follow me, walk with me. And today we don't have to blaze a trail for ourselves. See, Jesus walked those ancient paths himself. Jesus is the only one to walk the path perfectly, to open up those, kind of to reawaken in a way those ancient paths of Eden, that same kind of life of closeness and intimacy with God, that we would follow in his footsteps, that we would walk with him, that we would receive his presence and his living word in our lives. And what I've found in my own life is that to follow Jesus is so much better than fumbling around with our own self-rescue efforts. My prayer today is that we would embark on a new decade together following Jesus. It's a time of opportunity, right? It's a time to be excited about what God wants to do in your life. There's never been a better time to be the church. There's never been a better time to be purveyors of hope in our world. People are hungry. People are eager for what Jesus would go on to say many years later. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that's what we really want after all, isn't it? And so let's walk together with Jesus this year. Let's move into this decade. Let's walk the ancient path together, and let's be amazed at what God can do. Amen? Amen. Can we stand together and pray? And so, Lord, we know that it's not just about making new resolutions, Lord, but we're so thankful that you've already made your resolution toward us and that you always keep your resolutions. Lord, that you promise that you will be with us, that you're with us now by your Holy Spirit. Lord, and I pray that you would empower us for the year ahead. I pray that you would empower us for the decade ahead, Lord, for this great adventure of faith. Lord, we know that you are with us, that you are for us. Lord, and I pray that for anybody today who just has maybe a lack of hope, a lack of personal vision, Lord, that you would inspire us, that you would open our eyes afresh to your heart for us, to what you want to do in our lives, Lord, in our in everything we put our hand to, Lord, that you want, we pray for your blessing over our lives. We pray for your blessing over relationships, Lord, over careers, over health, Lord, in this coming year. Lord, pray for blessing over this church, Lord, and we dedicate this year to you. Lord, we want to be obedient. Lord, you don't call us to be successful as much as you call us to be faithful, Lord. And we pray that this would be a year marked by incredible faithfulness to your call. Lord, that would set the trajectory for the decade. And so, Lord, we give you all thanks and praise for what you're doing here and now in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to check out some more about Trinity, you can visit our website at www.trinitychurch.life.